Shark Baggerly.
Shark Baggerly.
Shark Baggerly. Hello, and welcome to Shark Baggerly, the podcast which all began having noticed that Isabella Beaton recommended cooking pasta for 1 hour 40 minutes. This is our 34th episode, which also happens to be the average Celsius temperature of hedgehog. Miles needed to be walked at a normal brisk pace to get rid of 1 pound of fat and the number of facial muscles used in vigorous kissing. If you were with us last week, I had come across the Guards Party Book, and what a treat it was. So I've bought it, and we'll be having another look at it in a bit. But first, Howard, busy with his online classes, and also he has news about some of our favourite meals.
So it was an article, BBC News, saying, are we losing our love of classic British dishes? Some classic British dishes may be moving from our cookbooks to the history books as Brits no longer recognise them. So basically, they conducted this survey and they asked people, have you ever heard of this, like Toad in the Hole? And they found that more than a quarter of Brits have never eaten Toad in the Hole.
No.
And nearly one in five think it's a completely made-up dish.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah. Oh,
I love Toad in the Hole.
Spotted Dick, 18% of people believe that Spotted Dick is imaginary. So
we said that, though, didn't we, when we were chatting about it before, that the millennials don't know what it is.
No, and do you know, I did a class at the weekend, and some of our lovely, lovely, regular Shark Baggerly listeners were on there.
Oh.
But they were saying about, you know, when we talked about puddings, and they said pudding means something completely different in the USA, which I didn't know. Yeah. So we use pudding to mean generally a sort of steamed or baked kind of dessert, don't we? Sponge pudding or... But pudding in the USA is something a bit like our Angel Delight. So it's like a creamy...
Moussey.
Chocolatey kind... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So if you say we're having pudding, it literally only means this creamy dessert.
So that must have been really confusing then when we were chatting about steaming it.
I know. So several of them had just booked on the class so they could complain about it.
So have they gonna have they done a list of those meals then? So you said about Toad in the Hole, and for those that don't know Toad in the Hole, it's Yorkshire pudding and sausages, isn't it, H? Based
together. Although it says here that originally Toad in the Hole started out as a small piece of beef set in batter.
Oh.
And then over the years, as sausages became more popular, the piece of beef got replaced with a sausage.
Oh. I tell you, I found something today. Because you know me and my obsession with a certain well-known auction site. I just like to know what's going on. And there was a book that's just gone on the last couple of days called Good Housekeeping Cookery Compendium. It's a good word, isn't it? Oh. Compendium.
It is. It's not used as much now, is it?
No, no. And it's under the thing of Waverley. So that's it, really. It doesn't really say who it's by. But the introduction is lovely because above it is a handwritten note. So I'll show you it. So this is the introduction.
Oh, well, let me make you bigger again. It's, if I get rid of this spotted dick, I might be able to see you a bit better. Don't I? I still... Oh, you've gone off now.
I didn't think you'd say that today, but there we are.
Oh, I can see it. Yes, I just can't read it. Right. No, that's... Oh, yeah, I can see that there's a little bit of handwriting. Yeah, yeah.
So, just hold this thought, because this is a gentleman called Douglas who has bought this book, this compendium of good housekeeping and cookery for his wife, Muriel. And he's put at the top, to Muriel, on the occasion of our fourth anniversary, June the 9th, 1955, love, Douglas. Now, I don't know why, but I looked at that, Howard, and I thought, it's the fourth anniversary. Did he give her till the fourth anniversary to realise that it's not quite like his mum? Did he not want to give the cookery book too early because, you know, you don't really want a cookery book for your anniversary, do you? We like flowers and things like that. So why is it the 4th? Now, you see, my mind's going now. What's happened between years 1, 2, 3? And did they even have a 5th anniversary after being given a cookbook on the 4th anniversary?
Oh, no. Is 4th significant? You know, so...
Oh, yeah, hang on then. Yeah.
What is the 4th anniversary? Was he buying it because it's paper or something useful, you know, appropriate?
4th anniversary. Now, you see, if it was paper, I think, is that the first anniversary paper?
Is it first?
Hang on.
It's not going to be cookbooks, is it? So.
No, but, what do you think Muriel thought? 4th is... God, it makes it worse now. For the 4th anniversary, you'll be looking at fruit and flowers. In the States, it's linen. It's silk in the UK.
But, is it?
Yeah, but would she have got... I don't think they'd have got to 5th. I don't know. What do you buy, Peter, for your anniversaries?
We don't, really. It's that awful. No.
Yeah, paper is the first. I'm going back on this now. I found it now. Yeah, paper is the first, cotton second, leather third, fruit or flowers for the 4th. So she's got to 4th. She's had a paper. So, I don't know. He probably brought her a paper home. Cotton was maybe a duster. Leather was one of a chamois cloth for the windows. And then she thought, right.
Well, I'm glad you thought of something. My mind was somewhere else for the leather anniversary.
So Muriel now has thought, right, I've had all that. For my 4th one, fruit or flowers, this is it. This is it, Douglas. No, he gives her a cookery book. Poor Muriel. Whatever happened to Muriel, eh? Do you know, I watched for the first time a bake-off the other day, H. I haven't seen it for ages.
For the first time?
In
Did
ages?
You never watch it when I... Oh, no, in ages. Ages. Oh, right. I thought you'd never watched it even when I was in it.
No. Excuse me, Howard. I watched it because I asked you, didn't I? I approached you to come and see us, didn't I?
I think Keith was busy doing something.
I used to watch it religiously when it was on the BBC. And then when it moved to Channel 4, I don't know, I've lost heart in it a little bit.
Oh, bless.
But I watched it the other night. Was it Tuesday? I like that, what's his name? He's German. Who's a German?
Oh, Jürgen.
He's all right. Yeah. I liked him. And Giuseppe, he seemed to come over all right.
Sometimes you'll find that... Sometimes it's a particular episode and you think, well, that just wasn't like vintage Bake Off. But I wonder every time there's a new series whether I'm going to get into it. And some series you do. But this one, I thought, again... At the beginning, I thought, I don't know whether I'm going to warm to everybody or not. And then pretty quickly, I had. And I thought I thought they were a nice group. Plus, I suppose I'm a bit vain, aren't I? But I follow people on Instagram, and I think this is the first season, the first series in quite a while where I've got every single person following me back, which I thought, oh... They still remember me.
Last week we were chatting about evening drinks parties, weren't we, and dinner parties and what. Well, including in this one, there's the teenagers' parties. Again, it kind of talks you of what you need to be doing. So it starts with whether your young sophisticates decide on a casual party and ring round their friends on impulse or bring them round after, say, a film show, or whether they opt for a planned party, the keynote is an informality. And then it goes on that perhaps you should hold it in a village hall because if it's in your home, it says, involves moving the furniture, rolling up the carpet, scattering cushions about the room, switching the record player on and some of the lights off. So, afraid if I had teenagers round, I'd have to leave those lights on. Thank you very much. But there's this wonderful thing at the end, Howard. So it tells you about Stagecraft's a secret. If you want to hide any unwanted areas of the hall... then that's when you do your lighting. I guess that's why they turned it off. And then it says props such as fishnets and branches can effectively set the scene. So why would you have fishnets?
Well, my mind's going in two different directions here because I'm thinking wearing fishnets, as in like fishnet stockings or ties, or are they literally getting some fishermen's nets and putting them up on the wall?
I'm going to go with the latter, because this is a teenager's party, H. It says props such as fishnets and branches can effectively set the scene. But this is this lovely one here. Are you ready for this? Yeah. Finally, hire any crockery or cutlery you need from your marquee people. So we've now got a marquee. I don't know where this has come from. Lay on food and drinks and engage the local beat group. And you're off. You're off to a swinging start.
A local beat group. Oh, that's what we need.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that fabulous? Were you ever in a local beat group?
No. I think beat is a little bit before my time, isn't it? I don't think I was once in the boys' brigade and didn't do very well in that because I couldn't remember left from right. So when we had to do sort of synchronized marching, I was always in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So I only stayed there for about 6 months, I think.
That does not surprise me. But no local beat group's your pop group, isn't it? So were you ever in a band? I know you played that thing, didn't you? Was it the trombone? Was it the trumpet?
No, I played the guitar.
Badly.
Well, I pretended to play the guitar.
I remember that,
On the City Hall, yes. But no, that wasn't.
I played in a band once, a group.
Did you?
Yeah, I was singing.
What did you play?
Well, singing. So I played my voice, I guess. Yeah, singing. Remember that. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Well, you've got a nice voice, haven't you?
Oh, smoothie. And then final one, children's parties, because you, obviously he's younger. This, to me, if I show you this book, obviously whoever had this book in the past, it was mostly for the children, because look at the state of this page.
Oh, gosh.
It's everywhere, Howard.
Yeah, that's messy, isn't it? Mm.
It's difficult to generalise about children's parties as the different age groups have different ideas about fun and games. Nevertheless, there are a few broad tips. Always provide some sort of music during the course of the party. Make use of the garden whenever possible. Arrange the more rumbustious games before tea and the quieter sit-down ones afterwards. And remember that pencil and paper games are not the younger children's idea of having fun. Be cautious about the presence of pets. And lastly, be generous with your prize giving and give a small present to the winners and triers alike.
It's quite a few years ago now because my nieces have just gone to university. But one of their birthday parties, we came up with the idea. It was shortly after, I think, it must have been the same year I'd been on Bake Off or the year after. And they had this idea of having a baking party, and you've got all these kids making, what do they call those things? Cake pops, you know, where you sort of squish up bits of sponge and roll them in ganache or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And then stick them on a stick, and then you have various things to dip them in. And sprinkles and things like that.
Oh, my.
Absolute carnage. Oh, I honestly, by the time I was so ready for a drink after that, it was like unbelievable.
University, I can't believe that. Where's that gone?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? They've moved really far away. So obviously living in Brighton, and one of them's gone up to Glasgow and the other one's gone to Liverpool. So, yeah, they've...
Gee, Liverpool's not far from you.
No, we've said that. If she needs us at any point, we can...
You're not in.
Not doing kids' parties again, anyway. So I've got another class on this weekend. I'm doing baklava and... I'm not even sure how you pronounce it. Mhancha.
Oh, yes.
So it's...
Yeah. Is it cheese?
No.
Oh.
That's Cheshire.
I've heard of that one. Why have I heard of it then, H?
Mhancha. It's like a snake. So they're both made out of phyllo pastry. So we're going to be making phyllo from scratch.
Uh-huh.
And one, obviously layering it up to make the baklava. And then rolling it to make this mhancha, which is like a Moroccan snake type thing. I'm doing a savoury one.
Mhancha. How are you spelling it? Mhancha.
The letter M and then a apostrophe.
Oh.
H-A-N-C-H-A.
Got it.
Mhancha.
Mhancha.
Yeah.
Made from roll phyllo pastry, coiled like a serpent. Yeah, orange flower water and cinnamon flavour, and is very North African, revealing the Persian influences in the region. Hey, that doesn't look easy, H.
Well, it's I'm doing a savoury version of it, so I'm doing sort of butternut squash, feta, pine nuts, and because I thought I'd do something as a bit of a contrast to the baklava, but
oh, there's a festive one you can do here.
Festive?
Yeah, for Christmas.
It would be nice for Christmas, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Well, it's got here parsnips, rosemary, lentils, soy sauce, phyllo, rolled oats, soya, black beans, sage, chopped, dried cranberries, carrots, onion, and vegetable oil, and garlic. Look, for a festive...
It sounds nice. It sounds like it might get, what my mum would say, it might get in dark corners, though, with all that in there. Oh, that looks nice, doesn't it? Yeah.
Doesn't say the difficulty on it, though.
I wonder about that sometimes, because sometimes you'll get them and they'll say easy, and it's not at all. And you think, who finds this easy? And then other times they'll say, you know, that it's hard, and I haven't found it that hard. So you think, have they just sort of categorised it wrongly, or am I actually better doing stuff than I think I am? And I think it's probably the former, isn't it?
Is this for America again, H?
Yeah, pretty sure there will be some of our friends from America there, yeah. Yeah, I got terribly confused by time zones last night. It was awful. I don't know all the Eastern and what have you. I'm thinking, oh, just tell me which is class number one, class number two, and class number three, rather than giving me the time that it is in Texas or whatever.
So you were doing 10:30 p.m. our time to 2:30 in the morning our time. To let the folk in America join in.
At 10 till 2:30, yeah.
10 till 2:30?
Yeah.
Oh, Howard. How is he not asleep now?
I know.
I think you are.
I don't know whether I am asleep now. I think I'm at that point. Do you know, when I first started going for a run, there were times when I actually used to get up very early in the morning and think this is wonderful because I'm actually doing exercise, but I'm not actually sure whether I'm awake or not. So I'm not really feeling that it's too strenuous because I can just at this moment pretend that I'm still in bed. But I must say, I had the most hilarious thing yesterday. You know, when I texted you really early to say, could we record today rather than yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I went for a run after that, and I'm listening to the music, and then suddenly, I've never had this before, suddenly this man comes on and he says, text from Katie, right? So it must be that your text had come through while I'm going for a run. And he's there in this very kind of robotic, formal accent saying, morning, H, hecky thump, you'll be shattered. Of course, we'll sort something out and let you know, XX. And it, I didn't know that they read the text out to him like that, but I just loved the way he said, hecky thump.
Hecky thump. I think we may need a translation here. It's a northern term for an exclamation of surprise. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Oh, hang on. Howard's still with me. Howard, wake up. Hecky thump. Ah, there you go.